Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right. Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Got a little rain, a little snow out there. Very springtime in Colorado, huh? Chance of some rain, chance of some snow.
Yeah,
you get the whole thing.
I woke up in a little bit of panic, like maybe I didn't set my alarm, maybe I slept through, because with the snow, it was really light in the room.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So sure. I was like, I woke up, I looked at the clock, it was
318.
318.
Did you go back to sleep?
I did around 4:15 or so. I kind of dozed off for 20 minutes or something like that. Yeah. But
418. I'm up at 4. I'm up at 4, so.
Yeah.
Putting the finishing touches on this show.
Look at you. Look at you. Just a workaholic.
Me and Millennial Ben communicating early in the morning. Getting stuff done. News in the brew.
I love that about you.
Four down.
Love it.
Getting some of the details of the Avs' big win last night.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, props to you, hockey guy.
Uh-huh.
Because everything you were talking about, not so much the importance of the win in the standings, but establishing something when it comes to potentially playing Vegas in the playoffs in the second round. And the idea that you're going to have to be able to play kind of, you know, dirty hockey,
right.
Ugly, dirty hockey. And if there is a perfect example of it, you're not going to find a better one than the game-winning goal by JT Compher.
Yeah. Just standing there. I mean, just standing right there, two guys on him, finding a way to get a stick on the puck on a shot to put it in. Like that's the kind of thing, blocking the vision, being in there, being gritty, doing those things. Those are the things that I always worry about when the Avs take on one of these more physical kind of older school, if you will, hockey clubs. You know, like who plays that style that we've had in recent years?
Well, St. Louis won the cup a couple of years doing it that way.
Right. So back in the day, Nashville, the Preds did that all the time.
Yeah.
So anyhow, those are always the things that I get concerned about, and because. The Avs are incredibly skilled.
But you win a 2-1 game on the road. Your goaltender is huge, Philip Grubauer. And then your goal comes on a play, a line change. Both teams in the line change. Mm-hmm. Compher comes just zipping off the bench, drives to the front of the net. The first key, drives to the front of the net, goes to an area where he knows it's going to be a little greasy. Got to have a lot of courage to go to the front of the net. Goes to the front of the net. Two Vegas Knights players parked on top of him, whacking away at him, and he scores the game winner. That's playoff hockey right there. They're not all tic-tac-toe, perfect passes, beautiful goals. You got to be able to score the grimy goals, and the Avs did that. Outstanding goaltending, huge win, and now they control their fate to go out and try to win the division.
Well, you know how I feel about football in general, right? Control the line of scrimmage, win games.
Right.
Both sides of the ball. So I always kind of, one of the things I always do when it comes to hockey is I look on the stat sheet for grittiness, gritty games, the grit factor, if you will. The Avs got outshot 37-21 last night.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Face-offs, Golden Knights won 58% of the face-offs. They were both 0-for, the Avs were 0-for-2, they were 0-for-3 on power plays. All right, but here's where I look. 49 hits to 45. I mean, you're hitting directly with them. You got to, it's only a few, but that's grit. And 19 to 17 in block shots. I look at those two. Those are two things that I always look at that say, because I want to see, to me, who plays a more physical style of hockey, or at least can you match the way they play?
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is going to be a big key. In regards to how the Avs finish or how they play come playoff time.
All right, so still in play is not only winning the division, but the President's Trophy as the best record in all of hockey, which means home ice throughout the entire playoffs. So they have two games left, both against the poor, poor L.A. Kings. And, yeah, a big win, huge win. It was the game of the year for the Avs, and they delivered with a hard-fought 2-1 road victory. By the way, you doing a little Grubauer? How about Grubauer? Here's Grubauer after the game.
Yeah, personally, it was nice to get that game and get those 2 points for sure. From a team perspective, I don't think it was one of our best games. I think we dialed it up a notch in the last period, made the right choices, played the right way, but I think the first two were some periods to forget for sure.
Well, that's what makes the win even more satisfying.
It's the first time I've ever heard Gruby speak.
Wasn't their best game, but they found a way to grind it out against a quality opponent on the road. Grubauer, 36 saves.
Yeah.
And him getting back into form after missing time with COVID. I mean, it was a huge night for the Avs. Just a really good night for the Avs as they look to not only get momentum, but then set themselves up real nice in the standings, home ice and everything, to be able to make a Stanley Cup run. So good job there by the Avs. We'll have more on the game coming up at 6:30 in the morning brew. We've got our fan film room day number 2 coming up later throughout the course of the show. This case, again, the whole week is taking a look at Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke and against common opponents.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, it was week 3 for Carolina against the Chargers.
Right.
Week 8 for the Broncos against the Chargers. That, of course, the game at the end where they score on the last play of the game. Deshaun Hamilton from Drew Locke for the game winner with no time left. So we broke that one down. Hey, we'll get to the Locke and Bridgewater observations, but I'm just curious. You are such a studier of film. Just having had a chance to look at a couple of Broncos games again, I don't know, are you watching the whole game or are you just focusing on the offense?
Oh, no, I'm just breaking down.
Just on the offense.
Just on the passing.
Yeah.
Joe, I'm just looking at like all, like I did Atlanta. So I'm working a game ahead yesterday. So I probably spent, I think there was about 56 passes in that Atlanta game. I spent probably 2 hours watching that tape, just the passing. So I did bring my handy dandy notebook today.
You did bring the handy dandy notebook.
So I
see it
I
right
go
there.
Through, no, this is a different.
We need our handy dandy.
Yeah, when I break this thing out, like this is, I might need Ben to help me because, you know, it's heavy. It's got a lot of great information in there. And Ben is.
Looking over there, you got, is that a leather bound book? It looks leather bound. Is that leather bound?
This one here is my kind of monthly schedule.
Okay.
With my every day. Yeah, see, this is the devotional section.
Yeah,
every day, and
okay.
This is the things I got.
Very
this
neat
week.
Handwriting. You have
I've got
handwriting
girl,
like a woman's.
Yeah, I've got girl handwriting. And then this is just a football notebook.
Look at those.
You're not ready for this.
I know. That's like Einstein's journal.
But down there in my bag is the handy-dandy notebook. Ben, I'm going to need your help when we go to break to get this thing out. It's so chock full.
I will
it's
give you credit.
Chock full of information.
Your notebooks are much smaller. They're handy. Handy dandy.
Yeah.
Sandy Clough could take a lesson from you because he carries everything he has, but it's all big notebooks, like the 3-ring binders that we used to carry around the hallways in high school.
He carries loose leaf paper. It's a term you haven't heard since you were in grade school, right? We need plenty of loose leaf paper. The guy just has stacks of
paper.
And you would have, there's only one, I mean, 243 sheets of paper. Uh-oh, out of order. Uh-oh. There's no way. Like, how do you know where
stuff
know. Is?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
He does.
Magic.
It's magic. Yes, it is magic. Always want to hear from you on the rumbleslot.com text line 303-713-1043. Avs fans, Avs man, I want to get your take on that big win last night. For a lot of people, we'll introduce you to Alex Newhook a little bit later on. But coming up, Mark raised a red flag yesterday about this Broncos offense. And it wasn't about Drew Locke. Who was it about, and what's the concern? Tell you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Today's a fan film room as we continue our week-long dive, all the shows, into Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke. We'll take a look at a couple games against the Chargers. But yesterday we were talking about a game against the Raiders that the Broncos lost 32-31. But in the process of talking about Locke, you raised a bit of a red flag about Noah Fant. Care to summarize what it was?
Well, I think that Noah Fant's an exceptional athlete. Don't get me wrong. But there was not, there just seems to be something lacking when he's faced man-to-man coverage on the inside. So when he's locked up with a safety and people get their hands on him, he just does not, he doesn't create separation. You know, and here's the thing that's crazy about, like, combine stuff. We look at 4.48 40, and we think, and we equate that to football. And it just isn't, it's just not how it works. I guarantee you Noah Fant can outrun Travis Kelce. I guarantee I'd rather have Travis Kelce than I would Noah Fant. There's just a lack of, like, hip fluidity and explosion in tight places that get him instant open. Now, like, listen, if you're running a spot route and you're just spotting up at 6 or 7 yards above, you know, on top of the center, and it's zone and you're sitting down between the two, you know, the two hook players, they can do that all day long. And you're going to compete. And they do it a bunch. And they run a bunch of arrow routes, which is just, if you're outside split a little bit, it's just a 4 yard turnaround and work away from leverage. If the guy's outside, work inside. If he's inside, work outside. And they complete those all day long. And you'll have, you know, you'll have 55, 60 catches. And I think there's, and you're going to explode. Like, I'm watching the Atlanta game the other day, last night, and he catches a drag route where the DB tries to jump it. DB is trying to go for it. So drag is just a outside, you know, 3 yards. So you're running a slant behind it, right? And you're running it, the flat. You're running in the flat. And so Noah Fant runs it. DB jumps it like he's going to get a pick six. It just goes by his fingertips. Noah catches it and he runs down the sideline for 60 yards or 50 yards, you know? He can run. I mean, there's no question about that. And, you know, ultimately the DB should have stayed on top shoulder. It would have been a 3 yard gain, forced him out of bounds. But he's got that ability, that straight line speed. He's great. He can really run. But the fluidity, the routes on the inside, the creating separation, when he's manned up, I just don't ever see it. And now I've gone through 3 solid games, every pass play, looking at every route combination and every formation that they run in those 3 games. And I just don't see a lot of control the middle of the field and win when you get one-on-one.
I was banged up. He battled his fair share of injuries throughout the course of the year.
Okay.
But he did play in 15 games.
Did you play?
The old Bill Parcells line. If you're out there playing, you're healthy.
Right. Because I get that he's banged up. But the bottom line is, like, you're a first-round pick who's, you know, got that athleticism. You gotta be better. Anyhow.
Well, he did, at least from year 1 to year 2, he did improve 40 catches to 62 catches, 562 yards to 673 yards. Touchdowns were the same, 3 apiece. So there was at least statistically speaking, there was improvement. But bottom line, here's the bottom line. This is a guy that drafted in the first round. At a time when your best tight ends in football, very few of them came in the first round. Most of them are all second, third, fourth, fifth round picks. It's a position that you have not had to invest a first round pick in to get a Pro Bowl tight end. So my question is do you see Pro Bowl caliber potential ceiling with this guy?
No.
No.
Hmm.
That was a very emphatic no.
As currently constructed.
Right.
Now, listen, that doesn't mean he didn't have Pro Bowl athleticism. You know, if we're lining up running 40s tight end, he gets to win. I get that. But, and again, when you're young and you're raw and you've been in two different systems and there's a lot, you know, there's a lot going on there, Mike. A lot going on. So, the benefit of the doubt, but you got to be better. You got to be better in the middle of the field, and you got to be better when you get one-on-one opportunities.
On the text line, oh, no, you didn't, Mark. Zach Bye's going to cry. You're talking about his boo.
Speaking of which, you
I've
know,
never heard it. I've heard him laugh. I've never heard him cry.
Speaking of which, I'm running a couple errands yesterday, and I'm listening to Stokely
Is
and Zach.
Is Stoke going after you?
They're both kind of going out, and then I challenged them. I did a little group text, and I'm like, oh, this is how it's going to be. And I got Zach so flustered. He was scared. He went to break at the end of the show 2.5 minutes early. He threw it to break.
You got him rattled.
Totally rattled. Totally rattled.
What are they coming after you about? Again, we're the wolf pack. We do not concern ourselves with the opinions of sheep, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, well, they were talking about, well, I don't know who it was. Maybe James Palmer said that the Broncos are, what's the report yesterday? They are lining up to be ready for Rodgers, but, you know, during draft night, the Packers shut down any draft talks. They weren't answering their phone. So they were saying, well, obviously Stink was, you know, incorrect. And so I just said to them, oh, so when the Broncos told you that, unfortunately we had to play a game without any quarterbacks and we fined all our quarterbacks, but they just let down their guard and they took their masks off to eat lunch. So you believe that? That's the story you're going with? Or when, free agency opens up, and the legal tampering period opens up, and 30 seconds after the legal tampering period, you haven't had any contact to that point, and you've got a deal done 30 seconds later. They hadn't talked to that point, right? Everybody was just sitting in wait, like you're just with a knife and fork waiting for that steak to be served, right? And as soon as it hits the table, you're chowing down. I mean, they're children. They're naive. They're little guys, you know.
They are the Hardy Boys.
Cute little shavers. Stokely and Stack.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but Zach went to break like 2.5 minutes early. They went go to break at like 54, and he threw it. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. The drive is next at 51.
Wow.
And Stokely's like,
rattled.
What are we? Yeah, completely rattled.
Rattled.
Oh, my God.
You rattled my man Zach.
He probably had to throw those underpants away.
I thought he was unflappable, but apparently not.
That
Morning
was the
brew.
World's biggest bacon strip in there.
Morning brew. Oh. Why you gotta ruin bacon like that? Come on. Well, you know what? You can't.
No, bacon.
Even
bacon
with that,
still delicious.
you still can't ruin it. Bring on the bacon.
Yeah.
Coming up next, bring on the morning brew, and a beloved Bronco has a new home. Oh, you thought I was talking about Tim Tebow? No? Somebody else? Next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep hiking, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy.
This is some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
Yeah, personally, it was nice to get that game and get those 2 points for sure. From a team perspective, I don't think it was one of our best games. I think we dialed it up a notch in the last period, made the right choices, played the right way, but I think the first two were some periods to forget for sure.
That's why you have a goaltender, and that's why Philip Grubauer is such a fascinating figure as the Avalanche get ready for what we hope will be a Stanley Cup run, because he's never carried a team through and to a Stanley Cup. So can he do it? Last night, they needed him to be good, really good, and he was. With 36 saves, the Avalanche fall behind 1-0 after the first period. They grind their way back to a 2-1 win, and now enter into position to go out and finish not only with the best record in the division, but best record in hockey and home ice throughout the playoffs.
I'd never heard Grubby speak before. First time I heard him speak. I liked it.
You liked it?
Yeah.
He sounds good, huh?
He does sound. Hey, Grubby, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Grubby. Hey, Grubby. I'm in. I'm a Grubby fan now.
The other thing about hockey. Here's the thing. Here's what makes hockey.
The other thing about hockey.
Here's
two things about hockey. One, I like Grubby. Two, what's the other thing?
Here's something, and it's unique to hockey. I challenge anybody to come up with examples in any other sport. How you can have players come right out of college and join your team in time for a playoff run and make a huge impact. Last year we saw it with Cale Makar.
Yeah. Yeah.
This year we're seeing with Alex Newhook, who was a first-round pick who comes out of Boston College, joins the Avalanche. Last night, 2 big assists.
Name is Newhook?
Newhook. Not like Kerfoot.
No.
Newhook.
If he plays for like 18 years, would they call him Old Hook, you think?
Oh, Mark Schlereth. Schlereth, you stamp you. Big win for the Avs. Hey,
huge win.
We talked about this game a good week and a half out, kept talking about this game, circling this game, and the Avalanche went on the road to Vegas and responded. Big win.
Big time.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all. Man, you got to feel this shirt. Sorry about that.
Well, apparently it's been Tim Tebow's lifetime dream to be a third string tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, Timmy, got to sign with the Jags. What was your reaction when you heard about the return to football of Tim Tebow?
Hey, man, it'd be easier just to stay at ESPN and make $1 million a year. So, I mean, I'm not going to hate on the kid. Like, you got an opportunity, you want to still play, somebody's going to give you an opportunity to try it out. You know, Urban is very loyal, but at the same time, he's like Joe Gibbs. In a way, like, very loyal, but if you can't play, you get cut. That's how it works. And so we'll see how he responds. It was funny because I got a bunch of people say, well, does he know how to block? I mean, does he know how to run routes? Does he know how to get, hey, if he played quarterback for 4 years, he didn't know how to throw. Like, no, of course he probably doesn't know how to do any of that. So, we'll see. We'll see exactly how that goes. I find it hard to believe that he is going to have a skill set that is good enough to make an NFL team.
Well, to me, I'll know everything I need to know about this move if the Jaguars end up on Hard Knocks. If they end up on Hard Knocks, then this is what it is. It's a publicity stunt. It's designed to get, you know, people talking about him, watching him.
Dude, they have already.
Because wherever Tebow goes, even though he's been out of football since 2012 and he's coming back as a tight end, the big top, the Circus 10, immediately goes up wherever he lands.
Man, you got to feel this shirt.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have already had more off-season scuttlebutt and talk on ESPN yesterday and today than they have in the last 10 seasons because of Tebow signing. Hey, Sean Codd's a businessman. And this is good, and he is good for business.
Yeah, and you know what
he's
else?
He's good for business.
You know what else he does? He, because he is a media hound, and he loves the cameras. I'd be so much more impressed by Tebow if he just said, "Hey, look, I'm not talking. I'm just here to play football and make the team. And I'm a third string tight end. I don't deserve to be doing press conferences." I would love if he did that. You know he won't. And maybe that's the idea. Take some of the attention away from Trevor Lawrence. You know, make it a little bit easier for Lawrence just to go about his business rather than having to deal with all of the attention. Next on The Morning Brew.
Reach for the sky. You're my favorite deputy. Somebody's poisoned the water hole. There's a snake in my boots.
Ah, yes. Everybody's favorite Halloween party guest, Chad Kelly, Machine Gun Kelly, is back as he's getting an invitation to come work out with the Packers.
Oh.
The Packers scrambling to find quarterbacks.
Why would the Packers need another quarterback?
They're a little bit short of quarterbacks right now.
Weird.
So Chad Kelly.
Cram it up your cram hole on the floor.
Chad Kelly got to get a chance at this weekend's Packers rookie minicamp. Hey, don't let Chad Kelly get control of the Packers, man. He'll make people forget about Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
And Brett Favre.
And Brett Favre.
Oh, he's got his fans. Chad Kelly does.
Shinga. Ready to go.
Just give him a shot, baby.
Just give him. Yeah. He was Woody at that Halloween party when he got beat out of a house with a vacuum tube, right?
Chad Kelly, Slaughter, you know, the list of Bronco Hail Marys that whose fans are like, hey, just give him a shot. Just give him a shot. He could be something special.
Good cleats on the grass.
And him too.
Love that guy.
Mark, that was Mark's.
That's the best quarterback.
That was Mark's Hail Mary.
The best quarterback we've had in 6 years.
That's true.
It's 100% true.
I know. Next on The Morning Brew.
Locked to throw. Over the middle, he's got his man, Hamilton. And Hamilton to the end zone for the touchdown.
So our fan film room games today, we'll really dive into it just after 8 o'clock. As we take a look, a week-long look at Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke, we'll take a look at two games against common opponent, the Chargers. Panthers week 3, Broncos week 8. That was the game the Broncos came back and won on the last play. The KJ Hamler touchdown pass from Drew Locke. Quick little, maybe a little appetizer, a little preview of what you saw breaking down Drew Locke against the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, it was really bad at first, as you well know, and they made a couple of big time deep throws. And I will tell you this, when Drew Locke is protected so that he can set up and have mechanics, man, he can rip it. He can rip it.
Wow, where'd you get that from?
I don't know. Did you say that?
I did say that.
Oh.
Intellectual property. But
yeah.
I don't mind it. You can steal my stuff as long as you say, you know, during that last break, you made a really good point. When Drew Locke is given time and he chooses to just get himself properly set up to throw, he throws a really good-looking ball.
Well,
that's what I said.
Oh yeah, no, I wasn't talking about throwing a good-looking ball. I'm saying he's ripping it.
Well, that's what I said, a good-looking ball. He really rips the ball.
It feels like you put a bonnet on it and put a bow.
Oh, I put a bonnet on it.
It's like a Sunday. It's like you're taking it to Easter Sunday church with your ball. Yeah,
Drew Locke's ball.
Oh, raspberry beret. Yes, yes. Oh, it's a. When he is protected, he throws a really fine-looking ball.
Oh, let me cordially invite you to watch Drew Locke
I'm
going
to cordially invite you to the receiver that I'm throwing to.
Yeah, I'm just saying he was ripping it. He was ripping it.
Yeah.
I'll have to show you some of my notes.
Of course, the Chargers, I mean, that was...
Knock on wood!
We'll talk about a game where you just said, hey, you guys want to win? Go. Like that was a bad plan. But anyhow,
that'll do it for The Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider. He'll join us coming up next. Mike Kliss is our 9 News Bronco insider. He's presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, guys.
Michael. All right, give us the lowdown. What's going on? We heard reports yesterday that Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've gone all the way back. Aaron Rodgers.
Bart Starr going to be coming to the Broncos?
Right. No, I got reports yesterday that they offered him a new contract. Also reports that the Broncos were open and getting ready in case he does become available. So what gives? Like, where are we right now from your information inside the Broncos headquarters?
Yeah, from
you know, this is a type of thing that has three parts to it, and Aaron Rodgers is only one. I do believe he still wants out, although, you know, some of the reports seem to think that he's maybe waffling just a little bit. The Packers definitely want him, and they're not trading him. The Broncos are in the same position. You know, they're going forward with Locke and Bridgewater. And that, last week, everyone was off after the draft. I think Tuesday they took off and got some R&R. They came back yesterday, and maybe George Payton shot an email to Gutekunst. I don't know if he did or not, but to say, hey, we're interested. If you ever sell them, they are. They would be interested. The Broncos would be interested if Rodgers is available. But right now he's not available, so they're going about building their team. I really think, guys, this is going to play out till training camp, if not after the preseason, and that big gap they have now between the last preseason game and the regular season opener.
Okay, then, throughout the summer, then, it is about Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. What specifically, because we're doing our own breakdown of Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, but what have you been told? What specifically is Lock being told, this is what you have to fix if you want to be the starting quarterback of this team?
I think he's looking at a lot of film and just, you know, they're kind of coaching him up and teaching him as much. Actually, I guess they can't do that, but he has to watch a lot of film on his own and see where he wasn't seeing the field correctly and not reading correctly. That, I think that's where Drew Lock's weakness is. He's got the arm strength. He's got the mobility. He's got the swag and the confidence. He's got to see the field better. He's got to perform a little better with someone steamrolling right into his grill. And so those are things that, you know, as they say, those are things that just take more and more experience, more reps. Hopefully for Drew Lock and the Broncos, he's better at it this year than he was last year. You know, it's not unusual for a guy to come out and, you know, tear it up and have a real promising start. And then in year two, which it was for Drew Lock last year, you know, take a step back. Baker Mayfield did that. So they hope that Drew Lock takes a step and a half forward. His first step is going to have to be to beat out Teddy Bridgewater. So I think the Broncos want Drew Lock to beat out Teddy Bridgewater. He's 24 with a higher ceiling, and Teddy Bridgewater is 28, 29. He is what he is, and there's something to be said for that. But I think they would like Drew Lock to win this job.
All right, well, I'm going to use your words there, steamrolling. And I watched the Atlanta film from yesterday, week nine of last week or of last year, and they were steamrolling in on Drew Lock quite a bit. Now, they only gave up one sack, but under duress a ton, which leads me to the right tackle position and the offensive line in general. Like, what goes now? You saw Eric Fisher get gobbled up by Indianapolis. He's out there on the open market. I think Mitchell Schwartz is out there as a right tackle. So what do they do with the tackle position, the offensive line in general?
Yeah, they inquired about Schwartz, who's probably the best right tackle, but he has a back. I think he had back surgery, and he's not ready to go. And he's going to get ready to go before he makes a decision. And then so they have Dennis Kelly and Bobby Massey in either today or tomorrow for visits. Massey has been an 8-year starter, 4 years with the Bears, 4 years with the Cardinals, the most recent 8 years. And so, you know, he's 32 years old. And then Dennis Kelly was a swing tackle, part-time starter for most of his career, about 6 years. And then last year, I think he started every game. So those two are in. They're right tackles. You know, Charles Leno is a left tackle. Russell Okung is a left tackle. They're looking at right tackles here because, obviously, with the contract they gave to Garrett Bowles, they're set there for the next couple of years.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. And, of course, recommend that you follow Mike on Twitter as he's got all the freshest news regarding the Broncos. Mike, thank you very much.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider. He is presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Let's see. Let's get to a couple of quick texts here before we get to the top of the hour. Let's see. Oh, time for the Broncos to move on from Noah Fant because Stink says so. Sincerely, Garrett Bowles.
Oh, isn't that cute?
You know, my zone is GB zone.
Isn't that? That's cute. That's really cute.
You'd love that.
I do kind of like that one.
I just said
anytime they write sincerely, you know, Garrett right. Bowles. I mean, clearly not Garrett Bowles.
Yeah.
Could be Garrett Bowles, but I doubt it is.
Everybody, if Garrett Bowles was public enemy number one until last year when they quit calling holding calls league wide. So, like, he played great. I'll give him that. I did call a game that in the third quarter he had more holding calls than the Broncos had points against Chicago. It was 3-4. So, you guys could say whatever you want. All I'm telling you is that Noah Fant has got to get, hey man, doesn't mean he can't be better, but he's got to be better in the middle of the field, especially in one-on-one coverage. He's got to find ways to get separation. That's not derogatory. It's just fact. Here's one more. Hey, Stink, you think Paxton Lynch has a career in the NFL in another position? Never played tight end. Think about it. He's never played tight end in his life, and he hasn't played professional football since 2012. But sure, let's give him a deal. My goodness.
You know,
I got people saying, well, you know, listen, he's a world-class athlete.
There were
he's not a world-class athlete.
Well, okay, let's just say he is.
He's not.
Even if he is.
He's not.
Even if he is. Okay.
World-class athlete.
Why is he taking opportunities away from far more qualified people, whether it's baseball with the Mets, now football with the Jaguars. Come on, just admit it, folks. The guy's a novelty. He's a carnival act. He brings attention. People, for some reason, are drawn to Tim Tebow. And it's, if you're either a minor league baseball team or a minor league professional football team, he helps create buzz.
Well, that much is true.
Sell a few jerseys.
And the reason, listen, he had this opportunity in 2012. I talked to several GMs that said, hey, we'll bring you in and, you know, practice squad, whatever. We'll give you an opportunity to learn how to play tight end. I mean, there's going to be 80 guys in camp. So he's not taking, to me, he's not taking anybody's legitimate job.
But you understand why he gets these opportunities. That's, I think, what bothers me is that he gets opportunities that have nothing to do with his baseball ability or his ability to be a tight end. It has everything to do with other stuff. And
yeah,
but that rubs me the wrong way.
Okay, but why is he
given that opportunity?
Well, because he's created a brand that is very valuable in the marketplace.
Okay, but let's just admit what his brand is.
Right.
It has nothing to do with his ability to be an athlete.
That I will agree with you.
Okay. All right. Hey, as we look ahead to a full preview in our fan film room, besides Drew Lock, what are some of Mark's observations about this offense and Pat Shurmur's play calling? Plus, just how big of a road win was that for the Avs last night? It's all coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.